and good afternoon. I am Kate Manahan, and thank you for joining me now for the premiere of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear from some of Portland's 8,000 to 10,000 new immigrants, refugees, and political asylum-seeking residents about their lives firsthand. Together on this show, we will visit with individuals regarding their rich life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers, while introducing them to listeners throughout Southern Maine who may not otherwise have access to the depth and breadth of the cultural diversity in Portland today. And joining me live here in the studio today is Elise. She arrived in Maine a year and a half ago. She came from Kinshasa, Democratic Republic of the Congo, with her three children to reunite with her husband, who had come ahead and received asylum here. Welcome, Elise, and thank you so much for being my first guest on New Mainers Speak.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure to be here.
Can you tell me a little bit about, you said you were born in Kinshasa.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about Kinshasa and Congo? Because I don't know that all of us are up to date on that as on our daily lives.
Yeah, I'm from Congo. If I have to talk about a little bit for Congo, I can say Congo is a big country in the center of Africa. And is a unique country who is surrounded by nine countries.
Yes, you are really in the middle of things.
Yeah, we are in the middle of Africa, in the center. And we have, I think, about 75 million population.
Mm-hmm.
And the most language we speak there, I think we speak French, Lingala, Kikongo, Chiluba, and so many dialects inside. It's a rich country, if I can say that.
Yes.
Our land is so rich, but we're still poor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we were talking about this earlier and realized that Congo is generally considered to be the richest country in the world, if we're talking about resources. It has something like $42 trillion worth of coltan, cobalt, copper, and diamonds.
Yeah,
and so in some ways, it should be the very richest country in the world. It has rich soil, rich culture, and traditions. Yet, because of the riches, I'm afraid, it has also been a site for corruption.
Yes. It's, as you say, it's supposed to be a rich country. But our exploitation, I think, is just for foreign people because we don't mind it. I don't know how I can explain it. We see poor. There's so many instability, and we can really reach these sources.
Yes, the instability keeps you from enjoying enjoying the riches of the community. She was saying earlier, they could have a very lively. What's the word I'm looking for? Economy based on tourism, because they have some of the most beautiful lands and diverse flora and fauna in the world, including the mountain gorillas, bonobos.
Bonobos, gorilla, giraffe.
Giraffe. Yes, and so they would
so
be able to do
kind.
Eco tours, except for it's mighty dangerous in the war zone, huh?
That's okay.
Yeah. So tell me about when you were a child in Kinshasa. What kind of student were you, and what did school look like? What did a day look like in your life?
There's many kind of school in Africa. And it's not like here in Africa we have to pay for study. Even you are in elementary school, middle school, you have to pay for that. And it's your choice to do the best if you want for your kid. If you want level school, you have to pay higher.
You pay higher for better levels.
You pay higher for the better level. And so the school for Catholic, you have to pay for that, but they have so high level for studies too.
Mm-hmm, the Catholic
schools
are high.
And there's the middle and there's the lower.
The lowest level. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you spent a lot of time in school.
Yes.
Yes. Can you tell me a little bit about your college degree?
Yeah, I have a degree in BS in business management. Is economic courses. I did 5 year in college.
And that was in Kinshasa as well.
Yes.
What was the name of the university?
Congo Protestant University of Congo.
So you have an economics degree and business
Yes.
management.
Yes.
Wow. But right now, you are raising three beautiful children.
Oh yeah.
And when you
I'm
arrived
so
here,
grateful.
oh, when you arrived here a year and a half ago, how old were your children?
Because we are here for from 1 year and a half. My first one had now 8, three and a half, two and a half, but
Yeah. So
the last
right
one.
after you arrived here, and you came in August, soon right after you were here, you were sending your 8-year-old off to school.
Yeah.
And you didn't speak a lot of English at the time. Is that
Oh,
correct?
yes, is that correct? It was a struggle for us, but the kid are so lucky, and they can learn so fast. They didn't take my first one. She didn't take too much time to know how to speak English, and to be inside the school, if I can say that. But for me, it was only a struggle because I learned English in my country, but I didn't practice. I just learned a little bit.
So mostly vocabulary and
Vocabulary is why when I came here, when I did my test, they put me in level 3 because I knew how to read, how to write. But my struggle it was about speaking and listening. People were speaking so fast and it was kind of trouble for me and I didn't make it.
Well, it seems
Yeah.
to me a year and a half to be going from struggling to understand the language when you hear it spoken and being uncomfortable speaking it to being on WMPG radio doing
Oh, that.
a voice interview. It's an impressive transformation.
Oh yeah, a big one.
How did you learn your English once you got here?
When I got here, I learned my English in Portland adult education, and I'm still going there because I'm still struggling. I cannot say I speak a good English. I'm trying to do the best, and I'm still learning.
Yes.
Yeah, when I went there, I was in level 3. And
And
I'm
now?
going, I can keep going. Now I'm doing writing workshop.
So Portland Adult Ed has classes for new language speakers at many different levels.
Yeah,
Is
so
that right?
many, lower and higher.
And how did you find your way to Portland Adult Ed?
My
How
way?
did you know how to go there for language classes?
Oh, my husband knew it. And when I came, she said it's the first thing I have to do to learn English because if I can learn English, I can be my I can be easier to do things. It's a good way for me to learn English and make my life easier.
Yes. I would imagine it would make it a lot easier here since we
Oh.
don't speak Lingala much.
Oh, not at all.
Though you could find some French speakers in the community.
Yeah,
Yeah.
sometime I can find. I had a neighborhood in my last house. She was trying to speak French, but they're not too much, just people from my country or my neighborhood country.
Oh, yes.
But
So you have a harder time understanding French Canadian, that kind of French?
no.
No, you can understand
Yeah, I
that?
can. The sound is different, but I can understand Canadian French.
Yes.
Yeah.
But your neighbor was trying to speak French.
Yes, she's trying to speak French, and
Yeah, so you
the more
thought.
thing I like here, people are so patient to understand what you want to say.
Well,
They
that's
give you
nice.
the opportunity to say something. If you can just explain something for them, that's enough for them. They are not straight. I don't understand you. I would say something can hurt you.
Oh, I'm glad. I'm glad to
Yeah,
hear that you're having that experience.
I like this experience and it's a big deal, but okay, what can I say? It make you encourage you to keep going and
Yes.
do and say something.
Yes.
And the thing I have to say to people is that you don't have to be shy. Just speak and say something, and is a good way to do better.
Yes, that's how you learn, right? You take the risk.
Yeah, I take too much risk. Is when I go to the hospital, they always say they have to give me an interpreter.
Yes,
I used to do that, but sometimes I say no. I don't want an interpreter now. You can stay there, but I want to practice. If I can't say anything, I can't go far with my English.
Elise, I think that's why you've gotten so good in a year and a half. Oh. It's the courage to try, even
Thank
though you,
you
might not be
Thank
perfect.
You.
Just
yeah.
put it out there. Sounds like people have been supportive in your
yeah.
efforts.
They say, no, you have to have an interpreter. I say, yes, I agree with you, but I want to speak in English. When I'm going to have struggle to say something, the interpreter can say things for me.
Very nice.
I always did that, and I think I do better and better.
Well, would you do me a favor and say something to our radio listeners in Lingala? So in case they haven't heard it spoken for a while over the radio, they might know you're here today.
Oh, Mbote Ndikunangai, communauté congolaise. Je suis congolaise comme vous. Nazali awa, ça fait une année et demie. Nayebi bisonyo soto uti na mboka na ba difficulté. Eza la msusu bazaki na ba situation meilleure. Metango ba iya waza loko la ba bandi vina se. Ifo ko bunda po na ko mata. E sengi kaka courage et avoir de l'espoir et croire en Dieu. Donc je vous encourage de... Ba oyo ba kukaka na koko kate, na koko lobate, na koko lobate. Bolobaka, bolobaka, bolobaka ti. Un jour, you're gonna do perfect thing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You are listening to WMPG 90.1 and 104.1 FM and 281 AC, Southern Maine Community Radio broadcasting from USM. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I am Kate Manahan, and you have been listening to a conversation with Elise from Democratic Republic of Congo and now of Portland. One thing I need to tell you about is the weather that's coming up this week. And I'm sorry to be the reporter of this. We will not be coming above a freezing level until Friday. Looks like the high of today is 33, which is about now. And we'll be going down into the single digits tonight with flurries in the morning. And I just wonder what that might be like if you come from Kinshasa, where the average temperature is 81 to 90 degrees. That's your average high year round. And the average low goes all the way down to like 64 to 72 degrees. Big range there, huh?
Yeah.
So you never dealt with ice and snow before you came here.
I didn't know that. I didn't have experience of snow.
How do you like it?
I don't like it. I don't like it because now it's so hard for me because I can drive. And I see it going out every day with my kid, and when it's freezing, it's so hard for the kid to see the kid freezing outside, when waiting the bus, working. It's so hard for me.
Yeah.
And I miss my weather.
Yes, probably have to dress very differently too here,
yeah.
don't you?
You dress heavy coat and stuff like that. Now I used to, but...
You're getting used to it.
Yeah, used.
I don't think we're even used to it. This time of year, I hear a lot of people complaining about the weather.
Yeah, even the people who was born here always complain. It's hard.
It is. So, tell me a little bit about what your family looks like here versus your family back at home. You know, you just came with your three kids and reunited with your husband here. But I think you came from a lot bigger family there. So what's that been like? How do you define family on both ends? And what's the transition been like for you?
The transition was so hard for me because I went where I used to live with my family. Mm-hmm. And we used to to help each other, staying together, doing stuff like together. You have your own life, but you can plan with your sister. If you want to do something, your sister can take care all day. She can stay, the kid can stay there
yes.
and doing stuff. it's not a matter. But when I came here, it was a struggle.
Yes.
I like the word struggle.
Well, the hardest struggle is what? Not having the support? I mean...
Yeah, because life is struggle.
Sure.
Yeah. It was hard for me because my husband was working and I was supposed to take care of kids, going to bring them to school, take them up, doing every stuff. And even you have something to do, it was hard to do because you have to go everywhere with your kid. You can leave the kid by themselves.
No. In Congo, your husband was a physician.
Yes.
Infectious disease specialist.
Yeah.
And of course, when physicians come to the United States, they need to do a series of things, pass a series of tests, including English equivalency exams, which are very difficult because you're not just doing the language, but you're also doing the medical language.
Yes.
And so that's been a long transition for him. Can you tell us what he's doing now and what his career looks like with this transition to the United States?
Yes. It's a big transition because when you came here, it's like you have to start
all over again,
mm-hmm. or at the beginning. But hopefully, I can say he's going well in this way. Now he's doing sonography.
Ultrasonography?
Yeah, ultrasonography, ultrasound.
Ultrasound, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard for him, but he can make it.
Yes.
Because it's like you starting... In two ways, studying in language, in English, and learning about the courses.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
have
said
to mix it. Yeah.
He's taking twice as long to study as when he was studying as a doctor.
Yeah.
Because you're not just studying the medicine; you're studying also the language.
Yours, yeah.
Yes. So your husband, his course for ultrasonography is up in Waterville area, right?
Yes.
So how does that look for your family?
It's local because he has to travel every day to go there studying and come back. He's always tired. He has to make too much effort to be concentrated about the courses because he wants to finish it. Because he finishes it, life gonna be easier.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't have too much time. He's like, you have to do stuff by yourself and leave him to study. It's so hard, but... It's a good transition, I think.
So do you have any relatives here in town other than your husband and children?
Yes.
Who are they?
I have Kate, my friend.
Oh.
A good friend. I am thankful to meet you in my life. I have Lily. Because before coming here, I bring my kid to my cousin, if I can say, my cousin. Yeah, I meet some people and we are so close and that's right.
Elise was explaining to me on our way into the studio today that it is almost an insult to call a very, very close friend a friend because you transcend friendship when you take care of each other's children and have each other in your homes.
Oh, yeah.
Then you're a cousin.
Yeah, we used to do that in Africa. In Africa, when you are so close, sometimes you say he's my sister.
Yes.
You can say he's my friend. We are so close and... You know each other, your mom's friend, your everything you can do together, and you can just a family.
Yes.
I think we are all the family here. When you meet and you stay so close, it's the family. The family doesn't mean just blood relative. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either, but I think it's actually really beautiful to promote what would be like a best friend all the way to family, which means you're going to be together.
Yes.
And take care of each other.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Would you like to say hello to your children?
Yes, I say hello to my children. I say hello to Owen, Delphia, Audrey and the twins, Julia and Giovanni and everybody who knows me.
Yes. Well, let's see. Do you have any advice you would give to other new mothers who are just arriving in the United States with their children who are just learning the language and getting going here? What might you offer them if they arrived in Portland? What should you do as a family? What could you do with your children? What helped you the most?
Well, the advice I can give to the mother is to encourage them to learn English. I know it's not easy. Maybe you have kids and you don't know where you can, if you can find someone to take care of them for the moment who you have to want to go to study, something like that. But try to make it. If you know how to speak English, if you study English, you can make your life easier to live here. But, you know, here we always have mailbox. If you don't know how to read, you're going to always find someone to do that for you.
Yes.
But if you know how to make things, learning English and planning for your goal, and life's going to be easier. It's not easy, but keep going.
And the English will help you meet your goals once you're here.
Yes.
It will help you access your own education that you bring with you, so
yes,
you can share that with other people.
Yeah.
Do you have a goal for your career after your kids are a little bit older and you can return to work?
Yes. First, I have to improve my English.
Yes.
When I would feel I'm ready to do that, I will go, maybe I will do master's.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, I will find a good job.
Yes. Are you still interested in working in economics and business administration?
Yes.
Yes. And then also I would say that there is an organization in Portland called the New Mainers Resource Center. And they're pretty newly opened, and they are helping immigrants who come with college degrees and professional degrees to find appropriate work here. Sometimes the support that's been in place has not necessarily been for college graduates, and sometimes they are referring them to Berber Foods or to mm-hmm. cleaning hotels, which can be work that can help support their family, but it's not really getting the richness of the experience that the people are bringing to our communities, and we don't want to miss out on that. So
yes,
don't forget about New Mainers Resource Center.
It's a great opportunity.
It is a great
yes.
opportunity. I'm glad you're taking the opportunity to work with Portland Adult Ed. There's also learning works for people who want to
yes.
Improve their English as
their
New Mainers.
Mm-hmm.
This term New Mainers has come a long way. I first saw it in a book that was written called New Mainers with individual stories and biographies in the area. And I think the term has caught on. I've heard it in a number of ways recently. And the show is thus named New Mainers Speak.
Yeah.
We are getting toward the end of our time together, but we're not quite there yet. And let me just see right here 1 second. I was going to ask you what your very first memory was of Maine when you first arrived here. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
My memories of Maine when I came, it was Berber Foods is the first thing I saw, because it was a long way for me and my kid to come here. And I was very tired. I was always asking you when we were going to come in Portland. When
how long till we get there?
How long? When I opened my eyes, we always in car, and they say, when we came, we saw one pancart to say, welcome in Portland. I saw the Berber Foods is my memory. When I passed there, I always remember when I came first in Portland.
So you were saying to your husband, they had flown all day from Congo to Belgium
to
New York.
New York, yeah.
And then her husband picked them up there. They drove to Maine.
Maine.
She kept saying how long. They were so fatigued. She had flown all this way with three little children. And how long? And he finally said, this is Portland. We're here. And she saw, welcome to Portland and Berber Foods. And she thought, now when you see that, you probably think, that was the first thing I saw.
Yeah, the first thing I saw.
Well, many of us know that approach to Portland. Well, you have been listening to the premiere show of New Mainers Speak. I am Kate Manahan, and I want to give special thanks to my guest, Elise, for joining
Thank
me
you.
Here on this maiden voyage
Thank
today.
Thank you so much. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me here.
Oh, it has been my pleasure. Thank you for listening, and please join us each Sunday from noon to 12:30 for similar interviews with diverse community members. Next week, my guest will be the lovely Ina Demers, originally from Semarang, Middle Java, Indonesia. She is an established refugee, well-respected throughout the Portland Public Schools, where she uses her master's degree in teaching and learning as an EdTech 3, passionately teaching students from all over the world at Reiki Elementary School.